Lord God, thank you that you do speak through your powerful word, that your spirit is here to help us understand. And we pray, Father, that as we look today at more of what Jesus is doing now, that you would increase our vision of him, increase our trust in him, for his glory's sake. Amen. Well, how much do you know about our little corner of the universe, our planet, how finely tuned it is that we are able to live and thrive here? I didn't know that much, so I do what all good researchers do, and I Google it, and up comes a site called the National Geographic for Kids site, which was about the right level, I thought. So on I went to find out some facts. Did you know that the Earth circles the Sun at a speed of 30 kilometres each second? That's here to Melbourne in 5 seconds. That's 108,000 kilometres in an hour, or 2.6 million kilometres every day. And it doesn't careen off course and fly out into the open galaxy. Even at that speed, it still takes us, of course, 365 days to get all the way around the Sun. Did you know that the position of the moon is what makes the Earth tilt just a little off the vertical to 23.4 degrees, a very specific number? That tilt, the presence of the moon creating that tilt, is the reason we get the different seasons. Did you know that if it was a little bit less than that, a little bit straighter, or a little bit more than that and horizontal, we couldn't live here? The seasons would be too short, too long. We wouldn't be able to grow food. We wouldn't be able to sustain ourselves. Did you know that if the moon changed in size or was completely destroyed, not only would our oceans go into utter meltdown, but our Earth would swing between this vertical and horizontal, and we could not live here? Last one. There's many more on the National Geographic for Kids site, so check it out if you're interested. But my last fact to consider, did you know that our continent is floating on liquid lava right now? 1,000-degree liquid lava. The whole Earth's crust, in fact, is floating on this mantle of volcanic fluid, the same way that a piece of wood floats on water. Well, there's just some of the interesting facts about our home planet that I discovered, about how finely created and finely balanced it is so that we can live here. And, of course, this planet is just one of the millions that are in our galaxy, and that galaxy is one of only millions that we know of in the whole universe. We can't even see to the ends of how many galaxies there are. It's too big. And so Romans 1 is very right when it says we are without excuse. Creation is shouting back at us the glory of God. Look up to the night sky, and there is no excuse for not seeing evidence of God there. Evidence of his eternal power, his divine nature. Well, why have we started with a brief science/theology lesson? Because today we're continuing on in our series about what is Jesus doing now? The risen Lord Jesus. What's he up to in this in-between time between when he ascended to the Father as the King of heaven and when he comes back again in glory and every knee will bow before him? Well, last week we considered a bit of what it is that Jesus is reigning as King. That he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all creation. And today, it's a connected idea. We're going to see that this reigning King Jesus is actively holding together all of his creation, sustaining his creation with his powerful word. Today, we're going to see that it's his word that keeps the Earth from flying off into the outer reaches of the galaxy, keeps it on course going around the Sun even at incredible speed. It's his word that stops the tilting of our Earth going too far in one direction. It's his word that keeps the moving crust of the Earth strong enough to keep the lava where it belongs and us where we belong. And in fact, it's not just the universe that he holds together, not just the big things, but the little things. It's Jesus that's holding together the cells of our bodies. It's Jesus that's holding together the functioning of our societies, the politics of our world, the borders of the ocean, as well as placing the stars just so. He makes the sun to rise, he makes the sun to set, he gives us the air that we breathe, and he keeps us breathing when we're asleep. All of it is Jesus, holding his creation together in every detail, across not just this world, but the whole galaxy. Why is that? Well, because it's all his. It all belongs to him. Look with me at Hebrews 1 if you have it in front of you. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining, holding all things together by his powerful word. See, in this reading, we're told that Jesus made the universe, and he has been appointed the heir of all things. And that means that there is not one single thing in all of creation over which he doesn't say, "That's mine." Our bodies are his, our souls are his, our land is his, our planet is his, our solar system, our universe, our galaxy, all of it, every part and particle belongs to him. And not only so, but the very radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of God's being, is Jesus. He's actively sustaining everything by his powerful word. There's not one part and not one particle of creation that's outside of Jesus' control. Not one place in all of creation where his word is ineffective or impotent. His word creates. His word sustains. His word holds together all of his creation. And we get this amazing picture, this same picture and idea from John's Gospel in the reading we heard there. From John 1, in the beginning was the Word. That's John's name for Jesus at that point. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Nothing, without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. I'm labouring the point here, but let me say it again. Everything in all of creation belongs to Jesus. And everything in all of creation is the result of his creative and powerful word. And everything in all of creation is held together by his same powerful word. And so the ascended Lord Jesus is right now about the business of sustaining creation, of directing it and carrying it and bringing it to the good ordained end that God has for the world and for us. He is not like a watchmaker. He doesn't design this amazing thing, wind it up, and then let it go off on its own to do its own work by its own devices. No, Jesus is not a watchmaker. He is intimately, continually, actively involved in every step of the ongoing stability and functioning of his creation, which includes us, his people. Well, sure, that's good to reflect on, and it's pretty mind-blowing to say, actually, to reflect on. It's pretty easy to say, but if we sit and dwell in that, it is amazing that this is the Lord Jesus that we know and follow and serve. But then we watch the nightly news, don't we? And we see all the ways all the places in this world, and we know the places in ourselves that actually don't seem to be holding together all that well at all. What do we do with that? Where's the evidence that Jesus' power is still there in the earthquake, in the tsunami, in the cyclone, or this drought that continues? How is it that Jesus is holding all things together when terrorism and war and illness and anxiety are just everywhere in our world, and none of us escapes the fallout at some point of all of those things? Well, to be honest, that really could be a sermon on its own, so I'm probably not going to do justice to all of that in this short answer, but I would like to point to a few important things as we consider what it is to be living in a world that's bearing the brokenness of sin, of our sin and everybody else's sin, that evil has some power here, and yet also the truth that Jesus is still in control, that he is still sustaining, caring and holding together everything, and that his rule is never deflated or defeated by the presence of evil. So I want you to imagine for a moment that evil had no boundary in our world, that every evil plot and every evil intention was enacted out and achieved. Imagine if each one of us and everyone we knew was given over to the fullest capacity of the evil intention that lives in us, unlimited. What do you think our world would be like? The book of Job, I think, is really helpful just to consider some of this stuff about. It's fascinating in so many ways, but there's one little piece at the beginning that I think is really helpful as we think about these things. In this somewhat mysterious account, it must be said, Satan, evil, is given freedom to terrorise Job, to try and shake his faith in God. But interestingly, only within the borders set by God. See, God says, you can take his possessions, you can take his loved ones, but you cannot harm him. And so regardless of what evil Satan wanted to do, he could not harm Job. There's the next chapter to it where God said, okay, you can harm him, but you cannot take his life. And so evil, regardless of how much destruction it wanted to bring, could not touch Job's life. See, I can only imagine that evil, the devil, has all sorts of plans he wants to enact. But God sets a boundary, and even evil must obey. And we actually get a hint of this same picture in John 1. Jesus, the Word, became flesh, leaving his perfect home, entering into our suffering and our shame. But here in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, will not overcome it. Verse 11 as well, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, evil and God, evil and Jesus, are not equal and opposing forces. God is greater, and God will win. Jesus will bring about the purposes of God, regardless that evil has some say here. And we groan, don't we? We groan for the ending of sin and the ending of suffering, and we wait for the fullness of justice and peace in our world. We groan, Jesus, come back. Come, Lord Jesus. Come as King. Come and destroy evil. Set right everything that's gone wrong. That day is coming. But even as we wait, because Jesus is holding everything together, darkness will not overcome. Evil will not ultimately win. The light will not be put out. and his good purposes to make us children of God will not fail. It's because Jesus is holding all things together by his powerful word. Even evil in our sin-infected world is contained by the boundaries that he sets. So not all evil intentions succeed. Not all violent plots and cheating schemes are able to be carried out. Many are discovered before they can do so. And because Jesus is holding all things together, our world is given the grace that we need, that we would not all, and not even most of us, achieve the extent of evil to which we would be capable of. The Hitlers of the world have been limited only because Jesus is on the throne. And he is sustaining all things by his powerful word, holding his world together, and even putting boundaries around the advance of evil. Darkness does not and will not overcome the light. Well, so what? How does remembering that Jesus is holding everything together help us as we orient our lives in this broken place, in this broken world, but as people of faith? And I want to suggest two important ways. I think firstly, it means that we can live here with a healthy perspective that it doesn't all depend on us. The ultimate responsibility is not on my shoulders and it's not on your shoulders. Jesus has it all in his hands, whatever it is that you think about when I say that all. He is powerfully and carefully holding even the thing that's most stressing you out at the moment. What an amazing opportunity to witness to our anxiety-crippled culture. To show them what it is to play our part and do the best we can, but to not take over Jesus' role. To leave to him what is his. The sun got up this morning without any help from me. That's a saying I actually say to myself really often. It's one I go back to regularly when I think, man, you're holding too tight to that, Karen. The sun got up this morning without any help from me. I didn't make it happen, nor could I have stopped it happening. So whatever my feelings may tell me, I don't need to be anxious about anything. But by prayer and petition, can call on the one who is faithfully holding all things together, holding us by his powerful and loving word. So that's the first thing. We can have a really helpful and healthy perspective that it doesn't depend on us. And second, I think that Jesus is holding all things together should fill us with a great hope for our world. A certain hope. Because he has it. We can engage in our world with great energy, with great optimism, because Jesus is bringing his purposes to their right end. So the fear that so infects our culture doesn't need to paralyse us as Jesus' people. We know the one who is holding the universe. We know that terrorism will not win. Drought or flood will not have the last word. Failure, even failure, does not need to define us. Chaos and struggle do not need to cripple us. You see, without Jesus, fear wins. And fear says, distance yourself. Protect yourself. Don't get too close. Don't get too involved. Hold tightly to everything that you can control. But we know the reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who is right now actively sustaining everything that is. And so we can go into this world with love and sacrifice and ready to serve just like he did, with great hope. We can take risks. we can try things and even fail at things because Jesus, the one who holds all things together, he is bringing about the good things that he has planned. And darkness, evil, death, none of that will overcome his good purposes. Friends, it's Jesus. It's Jesus that's right now holding us together, holding our church together, holding our world together, holding our universe together. So go out today trusting in him, trusting him to bear the weight of every struggle and being willing to engage deeply with our world that they might know he is king, that they might know that he is the faithful sustainer of everything, that they might know he is the loving creator of everything he's made.